You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM here in Los Angeles in Melting Pot, and it's my distinct pleasure to welcome back into our studios Chicano Batman. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Very good. Thank you for having us.
All right. Good.
Really nice to have you guys back in and plugged in this time, and really looking forward to hearing the sounds. We got a good bit of things to talk about, brand new EP, and hopefully we'll hear some music from that. Why don't we just throw it over to you for a couple songs? It's Chicano Batman on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Esta noche inspira. Me da inspiración ya para mis pies, hacia el espacio como el mar para el pez. Y yo soy héroe de ciencia ficción, corriendo y navegando en acción. Y yo soy héroe de ciencia ficción, corriendo y navegando en acción. El joven navegante seré mamá, el joven navegante seré papá, el joven navegante seré mundo, el joven navegante tu mundo. Navegante, yo soy y yo seré el joven navegante. Yo soy y yo seré el joven navegante.
Thank you.
So you just heard Chicano Batman here at KPFK and Melting Pot, and we are going to get everybody to put the instruments down for a moment, talk to us a little bit about some of this music, and first, why don't we get a chance to get everybody to introduce yourselves and also let the people know what instruments you play.
My name is Bardo Martinez. I play the organ, the guitar, different, you know, sometimes lead, sometimes rhythm, and I wrote the two tracks that are on the EP and composed the other instrumental tracks for at least, you know, the bass of it. Yep.
My name is Carlos Arevalo. I play guitar.
My name is Eduardo Arenas. I play bass, some guitar, and do recordings for the band.
My name is Gabriel Villa. I play the drums and percussion in some tracks sometimes.
All right. So the last time you guys were here and on your first LP, you guys were a trio, now a quartet, new member, Carlos. Could you tell us how you guys hooked up? How did you guys meet Carlos and bring him into the band?
Well, I knew Carlos way back. He played in this group called Paradiso. Mm-hmm. And so I knew him through a fellow friend. And I always liked his band. He had a really, really dope band. Basically, it was like a five-piece.
Five-piece to four-piece.
Right. And, you know, I know him as a guitar, but a really good guitar player. I thought he had a really unique sound. It was really, really raw. And also, I don't know, I never heard anything like that in the region where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So since then, I stayed in contact with him. And when it came down to, I had a few ideas for a few songs that I had, like another guitar. So I was thinking, all right, I already had it in mind when I was composing it. I was like, okay, well, play the rhythm, and he could play the lead. So so from then, last year, we kind of brought him in. We just worked out the songs. We practiced a lot, and we pretty much came up for, I guess, the base of a few of the tracks that we're playing on. And when we all decided to include him in the group, he basically learned all the parts. So that's how we made that happen.
Cool. And Carlos, you're on the new EP playing as well?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How was the dynamic different recording that first album as a trio and recording this new EP now as a quartet?
It's a lot more smooth than the first one.
Yeah?
Because the first one, we kind of freed up Bardo from doing everything all at once. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we do a lot of live tracking, and that's how we like to capture our sound. Because our dynamics, we don't like to compromise that. So having Carlos do some of the melodies and some of the instrumentation really freed up Bardo to really focus on the organ, really focus on the voice. And then when he comes back and does some stuff on the guitar, it's just not compromised and fuller. And it's just a lot prettier sounding, a lot bigger sound. So recording it was a lot more smooth. It sounded even, a lot more even.
Yeah, I mean, in listening to and thinking about the differences between the EP, Joven Navegante, and the first record, I mean, stylistically, there's a lot of similarities, you know, between the sound of the group hasn't really changed that much. But it seems like on the EP that there is this kind of tighter focus. Maybe some of it is the fact that there are a couple instrumentals, and also the songs are a little bit shorter than they were on the prior record. But was that kind of one of the things that you guys were thinking about going into the studio for some new music to kind of tighten things up or have a little more focused sound?
Yeah, I remember talking about it. We were just, you know, back in the day, people do 3-minute tracks, boom, in and out, memorable, lasts a lifetime, you know? And it was just cool to be on that tip too, just to have short songs, put it, and we also thought about the LP that we're going to be pressing, and just how much better that would sound on the LP. But also, just our focus has kind of evolved. Right? Less longer sections, more compressed sections, and I don't know, it's just our writing style kind of just went there naturally, you know. Say more with less.
So you guys are, in addition to this EP, which you just released, and just released yourselves, correct?
Right.
You're also, are you recording new tracks for a new LP, or has that already been done, and you're kind of getting things together for the LP?
Well, we got a bunch of new tracks that we've been working on for a while. Like, you know, I got a bunch of stuff recorded on GarageBand, and all of us have recorded tracks that we've had. So it's just a matter of like putting them on like a list of like what we're gonna work on. So right now I think we have like maybe like 4 definite tracks that we're gonna start knocking out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Practice on Wednesday. New stuff, new material.
We've been anxious to do it too. It's like it's been a really long time since we've recorded, and you know, since we worked on new music.
They're cooking in the back burner. I mean, they're ready.
Yeah, it's been nice just because you know, for listeners and fans of the group, there's been, you know, a fair amount of weight from that first recording, which was like 2010, early 2010, I guess, when that first got pressed by Club Unicornio, and up to now. And it's nice because we almost have like this embarrassment of riches. We have like the EP, and you guys are playing a ton of shows in Los Angeles, and then there's an LP that's coming as well. And so it's nice to have you guys doing all this work. It probably feels like a ton of work on your end, just thinking about how many shows you've been doing in the Los Angeles area. I think some of that, though, if I had read it correctly, some of that must be connected to the fact that Bardo, you're no longer living in Los Angeles now, right? You're living in the Bay?
Well, I am living here now.
Oh, now you're back here.
I'm back, yeah, okay. Basically, because we're all back, yeah.
We're back.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the things that I was wondering about, because I had read that you'd been spending some time in Oakland, and I would imagine kind of that dynamic of being in different places. And I think a couple other people were kind of elsewhere as well. That dynamic of being in different places, you know, it has to affect how you guys are able to make music and certainly play music when you're not able to do it or be together all the time. And do you think any of that also kind of crept its way into the new material?
Absolutely. I was spending some time in Brazil, in Panama. Mm. And Gabriel went to Colombia. Mm. And we had Carlos getting his master's program. We got master's degree in urban planning at Cal Poly Pomona, finishing that up. Bardo getting his master's in Latin American studies on, what's the homeboy's name? The accordion player?
Andres Landero.
Mm. So we're all really in different pockets and different parts of the continent, you know, different continents and stuff. But in that same space, we get to explore whatever it is that, you know, whatever music, whatever rhythm that it is that we have on that end. And then we bring it back together. And for us, it's fortunate. We play a lot and we rehearse a lot. So when we came together again, it was just like 2 practices and bam, there we go. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hitting the shows again. But we just all really clicked together, you know, and having that space to really dwell on ideas and then bring them back, it's been healthy.
Now, with the first record you put it out on Club Unicornio, it was a small kind of independent label, and knowing the people who were associated with it, Franco in the Bay Area and Lengua down here, I imagine, you know, they really didn't try and do anything to your sound, or, you know, the kind of like label issues that people often have. Probably didn't have it too much then, but I'm wondering how different this process has been, kind of to have even a little label, but still a label kind of behind you, and now kind of self-releasing your music, and just how different that is for the band.
Well, I think it really hasn't made a difference at all, because they have never really, they were like, we like that, we like this, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just already had the material done. We had the last, for the LP, we had the record already finished. So they basically listened to the end product. They were satisfied with it. The art, we had the art done as well.
Okay.
So that's pretty much how it went. Yeah, so I mean, we didn't really try. I don't know. We already had in mind working on doing this as a self-release thing.
Okay.
So we already, you know, we pretty much didn't have to go through anybody, but I don't think they would really think about or trip on anything. You know what I'm saying? They would be all right with it.
Yeah.
And satisfied with it.
Yeah, we have the freedom to do anything.
Yeah.
And at this point, that freedom has not been, you know, restricted. People still like what we're doing.
Mm.
We still like what we're doing. So we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And the freedom to record the stuff ourselves is amazing. Right? Technology's made it so that we can record anywhere, you know, and then mix it down and do all that stuff ourselves. So we kind of got control of our musical aesthetic at this point. And it's a great feeling because, I mean, we're just, it's coming from us.
Yeah. It also must be a really great feeling. You guys did this Kickstarter campaign. You know, part of it was about being able to press the EP on vinyl and to have, you know, your fans and supporters come through with that. And also some of the funds are going to help you to go to New Orleans and perform out there at the Voodoo Fest. Can you talk a little bit about kind of that? Because that does seem like something. I'm trying to think really like when those kind of Kickstarter campaigns really got started. I mean, it's a pretty recent kind of phenomena. And it does seem to, I wouldn't quite say level the playing field a bit, but it is this much more direct, it seems like this much more kind of direct connection to your fans and your audience and you know, your recording process.
I would just say that, you know, I would tell the people out there, if there's anybody who has contacts and people, you know, people in Texas, in New Mexico, Arizona, we're going to be rolling out there in October, so... You know, we're trying to do a mini tour, you know what I'm saying? Like, do something in 2 weeks, in a two-week period, hit as many places as possible. So please let us know. We got our Facebook, Chicano Batman. Just look up facebook.com/ChicanoBatman. We also got a website. It's ChicanoBatman.com. So feel free to contact us, and we're trying to book as much as possible eastward.
About that Kickstarter campaign, it was really interesting because... You know, I don't think we are the type to just ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we normally work shows, we gather our money, and we do. I mean, that's how you work for your money. You don't ask for it.
Yeah.
Right. So it was kind of awkward at first. I was thinking, why are we going to ask for money? People are going to give it to us? That's a crazy concept on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a lot of love in return. A lot of people really believed in what we were doing, and they also believe in keeping vinyl alive, which is a growing culture, and we're embracing that. As well, you know, and so we surpassed our goal, and that was just that was a surprise for me personally.
Mm.
Thinking, man, there's people that are actually behind art and music, you know, and there's money floating out there, huh? You know, for people to spend where they value it.
Yeah,
right. That's amazing too. People losing their jobs, right? Moving out. I mean, and yet people feel like spending on what they love.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing about that kind of campaign, because it's not just a situation where, you know, people give you money and they get like the CD or they get the record by giving you money. Like they're just paying you directly for your product, but instead it's to kind of help you get that product out. And that kind of like idea that you're helping that same process, and also kind of especially with vinyl, that there's... I still feel like, you know, this kind of greater permanence to vinyl than a lot of digital technology. And certainly your guys' sound is a sound that's perfect for vinyl. Like it just sounds better on vinyl, you know.
Thank you.
All right. But it also sounds quite good live. And there's still, even though it seems like you guys have played like you're doing like James Brown and the Famous Flames like style shows like every night of the week. It seems like there's a Chicano Batman show. It's amazing. But there are all these shows that are coming up, these great shows. The show that's going on at the Mayan with Onda Tropica and Buyapango, very Be Careful. You also have the show at the Hammer with Anthony Valdez, KCRW, used to be over here at KPFK as well. And then a show at the end of August, kind of the end of the summer of Chicano Batman. You end the summer at the Bootleg Bar in August as well. Did I miss any other big shows?
Chicano Batman tonight at El Chavito Bar off of Sunset. Come through early. come through around 8 or 9, there's going to be a lot of drinks. There's going to be silk screening and live video for your
taqueros pleasure. Too?
Is it taqueros? Yeah, taqueros, for sure.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Taquero también.
I would like for you to elaborate on the Onda Tropical stuff.
So Onda Tropica is basically a show put on by Quantic. And, you know, he recorded an album out there in Cali in which, well, he went to different places. I think he recorded... He went to Medellin and recorded in Medellin at the Fuentes studio.
Mm.
So he got together legendary people. I mean, you know, Colombian equivalents of, you know, people like Al Green, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he got together Michi Sarmiento, who was instrumental in creating Los Corraleros de Mahahual. He is an arranger, and still is. He still is. I think I saw the teaser. I haven't really heard the album, but I know that he looked like he was busy, you know, directing everybody. We also have Anibel Velasquez, who was part of that album, and Pedro Ramaya Beltran, who is a millero, basically playing, you know, very roots Colombian music. I mean, all these cats recorded from the late 60s, well, even earlier than that, probably like 50s, 60s, 70s, created amazing albums. Fruco y Sus Tesos, Fruco is a part of this project as well. So Quantic basically got the best of the best. And, you know, he's going to take it. I think he took it to New York and other big cities in the United States. And so L.A. is the next stop, and we're going to be a part of it.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, a variety of chances in a variety of different venues. There's a big, big difference between, you know, like the Bootleg and the Hammer and the Mayan and all these different places. A lot of different ways to see this band. All of them really recommended. Is there any way we could get you guys to play a few more songs today?
Hell yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Chicano Batman here at KPFK, and we're going to throw it back to them for a couple more songs.
Shining on you, shining on me, making love and hoping with smiles on our faces that no one gets home. Oh yes, that they continue to roam wherever they are. It was a good time, the place of plentiful food where juice could flow and smother our souls. That season exists in my memory as I gaze into the frame, reflecting my home and my people that I long for. Waiting here on the west side, waiting for time to pass, waiting to hit the right on inspiration, a breeze of energy that will guide me toward a place of peace, a place. Desert bacon, nurturing food. Waiting for time to pass, waiting to hit your right on inspiration. A piece of heaven that will guide me toward a place to be, a place. Baseless nurturing. Baseless nurturing. Baseless nurturing.
que siente y todo ya ni mover. Su corazón palpita fuerte al sentir su alma renacer. Ella tiene aire a Teotihuacán. Su piel tiene el color de mazapán. La 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 la. Su cuerpo va dando vuelta al ritmo del tambor. Su alma va como canto amor. Todo el mundo, ja. La 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 la. Y mira, oye, siente y toque a mi volar. Hacia el cielo con pulmones abiertos al mar. Ella siempre de creación y Totiani, tú me mueves, tú muéveme a mí. Y Totiani, tú me mueves. Tiene tu memoria.
azotea ni tú me mueves, muéveme a mí. Totiani, tú me mueves, muéveme a mí. Y Totiani, tú me mueves, muéveme a mí. Yanni!
So you just heard Chicano Batman here at KPFK and Melting Pot actually playing my wife's favorite song of theirs right there at the end. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in and performing once again here on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.